I bid you welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this, the fifth day of January, 2020, and also a good new year for all of you. We look forward to this year to come, that we might continue to have the Lord bless us. I'd like to mention those on the rostrum this morning. Our brother, Elder Kurt Fishwild, will be bringing the communion message, bringing the invocation and benediction, Brother Elder Jeff Stoker, and presiding, myself, Elder Rex Monarch. I have quite a few announcements this morning. First off, a priesthood study will be on Wednesday, January 8th, coming. All those that can make it, please try, because it's great as we gather together to work and study. January 19th, Sunday would be a potluck. Elder Todd Moses is coming into town. I'd also like you to keep him in your prayers as the Lord works with him as to bring the message and for his safe travel. Business meetings coming up January 26th for the officers and February 9th for the business meeting for the financial part of it. Be aware that the sign-up list for those who would like to be involved in those things within the church is on the back board. And also, there's an update. We have 13 lights now that have been purchased, which is really good, and we're continuing on to place those coins within that canister back there that we might be able to buy even more. That said, I'd like to read the call to worship this morning, and there's two of them. First one is from the Doctrine and Covenants 135. Starting at 2b, and it reads as this. The hastening time is here, and greater unity than ever before is necessary if the forces of opposition are to be met. And such unity will prevail if those holding the priesthood will remember their commission to preach the gospel, and each officer will strive to discharge his own duty and magnify his calling. The promise has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in the accomplishment of his purposes among his people. And as the church shall move forward in its great work, the fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of divine power, yet they shall rejoice at the protection of his grace. And from section 138.3e. Brothers and sisters, please hear these words. Great blessings are in store for the church if it will, in faith and saintly devotion, go forward in its tasks. May the Lord be with us this morning, and may he bless those words which have been read, that they may touch you in a way that is pleasing to him, is my prayer. May we continue with the use of hymn number 168, and we're going to use verses 2 through 4, 168.
bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we gather in your name this day. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity. Lord, we ask as we start this new year that we have your guidance. We ask for your wisdom, your grace to be upon us as a people, Lord. I pray that we shed those things from last year, that we can go forth with a newness, Lord, and with that, the starting of this service. Lord, I pray that your Spirit join us here, that we can bask in it with the words that are going to be presented this day as we renew that covenant at the water's edge that we made, Lord, that we, as we take upon us thy sacrament this day. Lord, I pray for my brother Kurt, for the words that he has prepared, that he can present those to us, that we can be filled spiritually to do thy will, Lord. Bless us to this end is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you're all prepared this morning to receive of the emblems. And I feel the need to also mention that we need to have a very good understanding of stewardship and tithing. And we're preparing that we will gather together and we'll be working on that and teaching that so we have all the understandings, because it is very, very important that we understand the law of tithing and stewardship. So this scripture that I've picked this morning for tithing is kind of harsh, but it is reality for us and the necessity to follow the commandments. And this comes from section 64, verse 5a. Behold, now it is called today until the coming of the Son of Man. And verily it is a day of sacrifice and a day for tithing of my people. For he that is tithed shall not be burned at his coming. For after today cometh the burning, this is speaking after the manner of the Lord. It is very important that we are prepared that we might receive of our inheritance. And it's not a game we're playing. It's up to you, however. You have your agency on how you give. But I'm just letting you know, it is a commandment. Brother David. Would you please bow with me? Father, we are so very thankful. Even thankful for the gospel and the scriptures which you have given unto us, that we might have an understanding of those things that we must do to receive of our inheritance. I pray, Father, that we'd understand the importance of stewardship and tithing, and that we'd be able to do that which we can according to the law. I pray, Father, as we would give with a cheerful heart, and that those monies that are received would be used for a wise purpose, and continually ask, Father, that you would be on our hearts and our minds, that we might be able to move forward in this new year and not look back. And this is my prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Before we continue, I'd just like to make mention, on the prayer list, you see, for some of us, we don't know Diana Flynn, but many of us do. Carlton and Diana moved up north a while back. Diana Flynn has just been added to the prayer list because her health is failing. And so I would ask interest in your prayers for her. And on a good note, Landon Weiss seems to be on the mend. It's a wonderful thing. I think it was good for the whole family as they see the work of the Lord before them. And what a way to bring in a new year. He's back home and out of the hospital. And also, just wanted to let you know a little bit of update on Connie and Glenn. The priesthood and some other folks were able to get over and visit both of them, and they're both doing pretty good. I was very happy to see Glenn, and I think he was very happy to see me, and my brother Kurt was able to visit him, and Connie's walking a little ways down the street to visit Glenn most days when she's able, so they're getting along pretty good. But keep them in your prayers, too, that the Lord would continue to be with them and bless them. At this time, we're going to have the preparation of the emblems, and we're going to use hymn number 388. 388, and you may remain seated. As the blessing on the bread is read by Elder Jeff Stoker, would you please kneel as best possible facing the emblems?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of thy body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
as everyone received of their portion of the bread. As the blessing of the wine is read by Elder Rex Monarch, would you please once again kneel?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
As everyone received of their portion of the wine.
Good morning. I'm going to be preaching directly from the scriptures, primarily from the book of Luke. But before I get started, I wanted to share with you something that happened this morning on our way over to church this morning. We were at the booth on the American side. The customs officer was there. And he said, "Where are you going?" And we said, "To church." And he said, he was going to say something, and then he stops and he says, "I can't wait to go to church next week." And Susan said, "Well, are you off? Are you off next week?" And he says, "Yeah." And he says, "It's going to be great to go to church." Then he went on to tell us a little bit. He says, "When I was raised, when I was young, I went to church every Sunday. And then it got to be like, oh man, you know, I got to go to church." And then he says he went off to college and stopped going to church. And then he moved from town to town, and so he was away from church. And then he said that he just recently started going back to church. And he said how he felt good after going to church. He says, "I don't necessarily understand what he's saying, but," he says, "I feel good after going to church." And, you know, it made me think, sometimes we take church for granted. You know, it's kind of an easy thing to do, or just come to church. This particular gentleman, he realized how much he missed church after being away from it for quite a while. And he was so excited that he was looking forward to being able to go to church next week. So, because he had the time off on that Sunday. So, don't take church for granted, and be grateful for the opportunities to come and worship with fellow saints. I do want to read, like I said, from the book of Luke. Within the scriptures, you know, all the scriptures are good for us to take understanding from and to take knowledge from and glean whatever we can from them, from reading them. But within the scriptures, there are these little bits called parables. And the book of Luke is filled with parables. And I'm just going to read several of those today. They each contain a lesson or something that Christ was trying to say or point out. And not just Christ, but there's also parables in the Old Testament as well as in the Book of Mormon. But something is being said, but it's illustrated in a manner of a story usually. And there's a message contained in all these parables for us. And they're just as relevant for our day as they were back then when they were given. The first one that I'm going to read is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 26. Now, this is the parable of the Samaritan, and some would say the Good Samaritan, but it's just the parable of the Samaritan. And we get to know that word now is kind of interchangeable with a good person, a Samaritan. We say, "Oh, there's a Samaritan." Why do we say that? Because he's helping somebody. So you see somebody by the side of the road, he's changing a tire for somebody else. Oh, there's a Samaritan. He's not really a Samaritan in the sense that he came from Samaria. Well, maybe he is, but I don't know. But most likely not, but we call him a Samaritan because he's doing a good deed. So it's become synonymous with a good deed. So reading at verse 26, and of course we're talking about the lawyers here. You know, there's a lawyer up in Oakwood, Mark Hanna, and he knows all the lawyer jokes, and he's very aware of how the lawyers are in the scriptures. And he says, I'm not that kind of a lawyer, he says. So, but anyway, here the lawyers are again tempting Christ. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And thy neighbor as thyself. So you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. But then comes the question, and even the lawyer says, And he answered unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So this is a Jew who's been beaten up, and he's been left by the side of the road, and he's hurting, and he's in bad shape. And by chance there came down a certain priest by that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the way. It says he saw him, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the way. So the priest did see this man lying there on the side of the road. He probably knew that he was in need of help, but he ignored him and he walked by on the other side of the street. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked upon him and passed by on the other side of the way. For they desired in their hearts that it might not be known that they had seen him. So they wanted to pretend like, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that happening over there. And they walked by the other way. And by the way, a Levite comes from the tribe of Levi. And the Levites had a special calling. Their whole tribe was dedicated to be helpmates or servants to the priests. And they did a lot of activities like prepare things. They watched the doors. They did a lot of things that the deacon would do. They also would just take care of the church and play the music a lot of times, things of that nature. So these Levites, sometimes are called, referred to as the Levitical priesthood. These Levites are supposed to be good people. They're supposed to be aware of things like the needs of others. And so that's why it's important that he used a priest and a Levite when in his description here, because these are people who should have known better. They should have tried harder. They should have been seeing the need and then doing something about it. So they acted like they didn't see him, and they walked by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now the Samaritans, they were not necessarily completely Jew. See, they were a combination of Jew and Gentile. And because of that, the Jews and the Samaritans kind of didn't get along. They clashed a little bit with each other. So it's interesting that Jesus chose a Samaritan as the person who's going to help out here. Because of anybody you would think that would help, it would be the priest or the Levite and not the Samaritan. Because the Samaritans really didn't get along with the Jews. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took money and gave to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now who of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him who fell among the thieves? Do you all have an answer in your head right now? Who's the neighbor of those three? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do likewise. So, anybody that we come across that stands in need is our neighbor. And are you being neighborly by ignoring the need of others? Or would you be neighbor if you reacted to the needs of others? Which one would you be? The next one I want to read is in the book of Luke, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now, this parable goes hand in hand with one that immediately follows after it. So there is the parable of the 10 pieces of silver, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the prodigal son. And these kind of all go kind of together. So this is starting at verse 1 in chapter 15. Then drew near unto him many of the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saith unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That means when a sinner repents and truly asks the Lord for forgiveness, there is much rejoicing in heaven. Much rejoicing. And you know, Jesus didn't even come here for all the good people. He came here for the sinners. For the sinners. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. Now this is the last one here. This is the prodigal. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods which falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Nobody was willing to give this man anything. And so he was working for this man, he was feeding the swine, and he was eating that food that he fed to the swine. And he came to himself and said, you know, he came to himself. In other words, he came to his senses. He says, like, what? What am I doing? How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat, bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. He sinned. He says, I've sinned. I can't be yours anymore. I can't be yours. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. He was a sinner, but he was forgiven of his father. He was lost to his father, and then he was found of his father again. And his father forgave him, even though he was a sinner, and he wasn't worthy. Even in his own mind, he knew he wasn't worthy to be called his father's son. His father forgave him. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safely and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time the commandment, and thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. We should rejoice when one who is lost becomes found again. When one who was in sin, enmeshed in sin, changes their lives and decides to make a commitment to their Heavenly Father once again and turn things around and change their lives for the better. And we should all rejoice. Certainly, the angels are rejoicing in heaven when that happens. And we should be a rejoicing people when that kind of thing happens as well. I want to read the next parable is in Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 24. And this is the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So starting at verse 24. For there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried off of the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Isn't that interesting? You would want that to be not that way for us, right? You would, if you're receiving good things in this world, then you need to impart to them who have need. But this man, he didn't give anything to Lazarus. When Lazarus was there by his gate, all he wanted was the scraps of food from his plate, but he wouldn't even give him that. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that which come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him unto my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he's saying, if you can't help me, the rich man is saying, if you can't help me, then send Lazarus to my brothers and in their house so that they can be spared the torment that I'm now feeling. And remember, he said that the people who are where Abraham is, they can't go to where Lazarus is, to where the rich man is. And the rich man, he can't go to where Lazarus is. So he wants Lazarus to be raised up from the dead, to go back and see his brothers, and then they will believe. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So basically, they have the scriptures. Let them read the scriptures. See, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We can't say, like the rich man, well, nobody ever came back to me and told me that it was a bad place that I was going to go to if I didn't change my ways. Nope. We have Moses and the prophets, so to speak. We have the scriptures. So this is what he said to him. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went up unto them from the dead, they will repent. So if you send Lazarus back from the dead, they're going to see that, and they're going to repent, and they're going to say, oh yeah, Lazarus came back from the dead, and he's telling us this. We better change our ways, right? And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. So if they're not listening to the scriptures, if they're not listening to the prophets and Moses, why would they listen to Lazarus raised from the dead? They wouldn't. And you know, we were talking in our Sunday school class last week, where they were traveling back, the Nephi and his brothers were traveling back from Jerusalem, and they had Ishmael and his family with them. And while they were traveling that 3 days journey in the wilderness between Jerusalem and the father's tent, they had trouble with Laman and Lemuel. They rebelled against Nephi and his brother Sam. And some of the other people that were with them rebelled against them also. And he said, in there, he said, how was it that they forgot that they saw an angel? Laman and Lemuel had seen an angel. How is it that they forgot that? And they found themselves rebelling against us. and seeking to take away our lives. How did they forget that? If you can't go by what the scriptures say, if they're not enough, then I don't know what's going to be enough. Is it going to be an angel? No. Is it going to be a relative from the dead come back? No. If the scriptures aren't good enough, nothing's going to be good enough. And lastly, is the rich ruler. And actually, this is, I want to read this one in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 10. Two men went up unto the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So he's kind of like, even as this guy right over here. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wasn't proud of all the things he did, including paying his tithes, including doing all the things that he should be doing, and saying, God, I do all these great things. I do all these things that I should be doing, and I'm a great man. But smote upon his breast, and he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. And he wouldn't even look up in heaven. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalteth himself shall be abased, and he who humbled himself shall be exalted. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. And we can go back to the other parable where the rich man, he found himself in hell. He didn't do too much to help out others while he was here in this life. And of course, Lazarus, who was humble, he ended up in the bosom of Abraham. He had a wonderful reward from our Heavenly Father. I hope that some of these have caused you to think today. Think on our own lives. And every time we come to this table, we should kind of analyze ourselves at this point and examine our lives and see if we need to make adjustments, see if we need to make changes, and then do so by the next time you partake, before you partake. Ask for forgiveness of the Lord for things that you have done wrong. Ask for opportunities to help others, and for you to be able to see those opportunities when they arise, and for you to have the strength to then follow through and to do those things and not pretend like you don't see somebody in need. Oh, I didn't see that. I'm going to walk by on the other side of the street. But to actually help out others and to do the work that we are called to do. I pray that in this new year, that I'm not going to say a New Year's resolution because it's kind of silly. But let's just all have a determination to serve the Lord to the best of our abilities, to do everything we can in this year to serve the Lord and to serve each other and to try and make this year a better year than the last. That's all we can try to do, is make every year a better year. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Kurt for certainly good counsel as we begin this new year, and pray that we all heard those words. Continue to study on, for there is many more good things within the scriptures on how we should live our life and those things that we need to do. May we conclude the service now with the use of hymn number 131. And when you find your place, would you please rise? 131.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this hour, thankful for that renewal of the commitment that we made. Lord, I'm thankful for the words that have been shared this day. I ask that we do become that people to study to show that thyself I proved. Lord, I pray that in doing so that we can go forth and serve and be servants unto you, Lord, as we go from this place. Lord, watch over us, guide and direct us this day is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.